This is Stories from Lincoln Public Schools, Episode 6, for Thursday, February 21st, 2019. Hello from Lincoln Public Schools. I'm Brian Fitzgerald.
And I'm Mindy Burback. Welcome to Stories from Lincoln Public Schools, our podcast that gives you an inside look at the people, activities, and programs that make Lincoln Public Schools the wonderful place it is. Well, today, after a day off due to the snow,
yay!
We are going to feature some of the readings shared by participants in this month's African American Read-In. That happened at the district office on February 7th.
This great annual event, which is part of the celebration of Black History Month, is put on by our youth development team, along with Lincoln City Libraries. Each year, attendees get to enjoy literary selections read by invited speakers that focus on African American literature and history. Speaking of great reads, Minnie, what's trending on the LPS.org this week?
Well, we have been busy, and the site is currently loaded with stories about remarkable students and teachers. We have one about Susan Hertzler. She's a retired teacher. She had taught for 33 years for Lincoln Public Schools. And she became a substitute teacher. And before subbing, she had never taught at an elementary school, and she said that was quite an adventure. Jason Keyes caught up with her. She's taught at 55 of the 65 LPS schools and focus programs. With three new schools on her schedule during the coming weeks, her goal is to teach at all 65 sites.
That's amazing. I wonder if anybody's done that before.
I think somebody has tried. I've not heard of anybody actually doing it.
Amazing.
But what's really incredible, I mean, yes, we are thankful that she's, you know, substitute teaching for us and helping us out. But she has time during these planning periods. As a teacher, you have plan periods and you're busy getting stuff ready and you've got students coming in, you're trying to help them. Well, as a substitute teacher, she doesn't have that. So she finally takes the time to look around the schools, and she has this eye for the beauty that's within these buildings. We have so many amazing buildings, and she has taken photos and she shares them on our Instagram account. And so we've captured those, and she's allowed us to share those on our website as well, so people can look at those.
Yeah, and take a look through them. It's amazing what she sees in just the things that are right around you.
Like highlighters. I mean, who would have thought that was artistic? But she just grabbed the way it looked, and she made it look beautiful.
Cans of pencils, stairways, all kinds of stuff.
So that's a very interesting story on our website. We also have something to celebrate. East High School and the Lux Middle School Science Bowl teams are going to advance to nationals. They competed a couple weeks ago at a regional event. I believe it was at Wayne State College. And so the teams from Lux placed first and the team from East High School placed first. So they get to go to Washington, D.C. in April to compete on the national level.
Congratulations.
And then also this month, members of the SCO Student Club at SCO Middle School are celebrating Black History Month by spreading its message of awareness and acceptance of diversity. These students researched local African American heroes, and a student wrote a short biography about them. And students read those during the morning announcements. They take turns and each of them read it to share what they've learned about local history here in Lincoln, along with other activities.
We've got quite a lot of performing arts things coming up, too. It's kind of performing arts season. Tonight is the opening night for Newsies, the Broadway musical over at Lincoln High School. This is a musical that's based on the Disney film that many of you will remember from 1992. I'm sure it's going to be funny and full of great music, so head over to Lincoln High for that. Next Tuesday is going to be our February Learning Lunch. And as we prepare to enter the budget season, Liz Standish, our Associate Superintendent for Business Affairs, is going to be talking about how the budget is developed. So this is a bring-your-own-lunch event, but we will bring cookies and stuff.
They're always delicious.
Come on over, pack the room, learn about how the budget gets put together. And finally, as far as arts goes, Wednesday is the beginning of North Star High School's presentation of Rodger and Hammerstein's Cinderella. An interesting note I saw putting this together is that this is the only thing that Rodger and Hammerstein developed for TV. It was only later adapted to the play. So a special thing about Cinderella. Other things besides these arts events. Remember, next February 26th, next Tuesday, is PLC Day. So the students will be getting out early that day as we work on a shortened schedule. And also next Tuesday is Board of Education work session and a meeting. The work session is at 4:30. The board meeting is at 6. So for those of you keeping track, next Tuesday, Learning Lunch, PLC work session, board meeting, and all of that means there will be no LPS Live. So crazy day here at Lincoln Public Schools.
It's always a busy day, it seems like, on that last Tuesday of the month.
So that's what's happening in our district, but let's shift our focus back to the topic of today's podcast, the African American read-in that was hosted here earlier in the month. Mindy, what can you tell us about the read-in?
Lincoln Public Schools hosted an African American read-in earlier this month featuring LPS staff, students, and community members reading and performing excerpts from the African American literature and sharing stories about the authors and their work. They were supposed to do a second event yesterday, but Mother Nature had other ideas with the snow day. I'm sure they're working on rescheduling that. This hour-long event is held in conjunction with Lincoln City Libraries, and it explored African American history and the contributions of African Americans in the world of literature and the arts. There were so many wonderful readers, but during today's podcast, we're going to feature three. Linda Anderson is a receptionist at North Star High School, and man, does she have an amazing voice. She breaks out in song. She's followed by North Star sophomore Marshawna Katke, and she uses this piece for her speech competitions. And then the last piece is read by Bill Bryant, an LPS student advocate. Let's take a listen.
Hello, I'm Linda Anderson, and I'm the receptionist at North Star High School. I'm originally from a small town in Missouri called Chillicothe, and I know when I say Chillicothe, usually they say Chillahoo, but it actually is a Shawnee Indian word meaning principal place, and right at the middle of the state, about 100 miles from the Iowa line. At the southern border of my hometown is U.S. Highway 36. Highway 36 stretches about 200 miles of farmland across Missouri that connects Kansas and Illinois. The Washington Post calls this route the Way of American Genius. You see, at the furthest west point is St. Joseph, where there was the Pony Express. You come a little further and you find Hamilton, which is the hometown of JCPenney. A little further to Chillicothe, which is the home of sliced bread. You go 25 miles further, there's Laclede, which is the hometown of General John J. Pershing. You go a little further to Marceline, which is the hometown of Walt Disney. And even further east to Hannibal, the hometown of Samuel Clemens or Mark Twain. I went to school in a segregated school for my first 3 years, and the genius of the area was not ignored by my teachers. They introduced us to many wonderful things, and the African American poet was one of those. One of my favorite poets is James Weldon Johnson, and my favorite poem of his is Lift Every Voice and Sing. In 1908, it was set to music by his brother, J. Roseman Johnson, and it was performed first by 500 children in a celebration of Abraham Lincoln's birthday in February. It was written to introduce the special guest that day, Booker T. Washington. I encourage you to find the poem and see how the brothers collaborated to bring together beautiful music and words that vividly expresses the struggle of the African American community for equality and justice. The poem was so important that we were expected to learn all three stanzas. And if we were a musician, we were expected also to learn to play the music. I want to just give you a taste of it as I sing the first stanza. Lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring. Ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high as the listening skies. Let it resound loud as the rolling sea. Sing a song full of the faith that the dark past has taught us. Sing a song full of the hope that the present has brought us. Facing the rising sun of our new day begun, let us march on till victory is won. I encourage you, find those other two stanzas and enjoy. Lift every voice and sing.
Good afternoon. My name is Marshawna Kapke. I'm a 10th grade scholar at Lincoln North Star, and I'm here to do my poetry piece. No, these pieces are not like mine written, but I've taken pieces from different poetry and smashed them together and made my own poetry piece. So I'll be doing it right here. On the bad nights, I wake to my mom. Mother, shoveling dirt down my throat. I scream, Mom, I'm alive, I'm alive. But it just sounds like dirt. If I try to get up, she brings the shovel down, saying, I miss you so much, my sweetest girl. I've left Earth and searched for darker planets, a solar system revolving too near a black hole. I left in search of a new God. I do not trust the God you have given us. My grandmother's, hallelujah. Today, I rode past 5 police cars, and I can tell you about it. Now, what to do with my internal inverse? Just how will I survive the little cops running inside my veins, hunting white blood cells, and bang, bang! I'm dead. And Kermit the Frog said, it's not easy being green. Well, being black isn't easy either. I don't blend in with the grass and the leaves, but I stand out in seas of ivory. The July 2018 issue of The Atlantic wrote, being black in America can be hazardous to your health, condoning that segregated cities see a gap of as much as 20 years in the life expectancy between whites and African Americans. The color of one's skin should not factor into the meals they eat, the schools they attend, and the opportunities they are given. In the poems Every Day is a Funeral and a Miracle and Dear White America by Dane Smith and To Be an Orphan Inside of Blackness by Don Lundy Martin, we face what it is really like, a poetry program dedicated to being black in America. I've left Earth. I am equal parts sick of your go back to Africa and I just don't see race. Well, neither did the poplar tree. We did not build your prisons, though we did, and we filled them too. We did not ask to be a part of your America, though are we not America? Her joints, brittle, and dragging the condition of it, us. We can love it, sure, cradle its beautiful head and eyes looking. It wants to be reformed, leaping, but the eye is not a good actor. The problem of the book is that it's never quite black enough. I can't stand your ground. I'm sick of calling your recklessness the law. Each night I count my brothers, and in the morning when some do not survive to be counted, I count the holes they leave. I reach for black folks and touch only air. Your master magic trick, America. Now he's breathing, now he don't. Abracadabra, white bread, voodoo, sorcery, you claim not to practice. Hand my cousin a pistol to do your work. Today, Tamir Rice. Tomorrow, my liver. Today, Rakia Boyd. Tomorrow, the kidneys. Today, John Crawford. Tomorrow, my lungs. Some of us are killed in pieces. Some of us all at once. I tried, white people, I tried to love you. But you spent my brother's funeral making plans for brunch, talking too loud next to his bones. You took one look, One look at the river, pump with body of boy after girl after sweet boy, and ask, why does it always have to be about race? Sometimes I get stares of disgust or confusion, and sometimes the salesman watches too closely as I pass down the aisles. When I watch television and see faces of people that aren't like me, selling me jeans and cars, children toys and mops. Look, I'm not gonna manufacture any more sadness. It happened, it's happening. Hey, America might even kill me before I get the chance. My blood is in cahoots with the law, but today I am alive, which is to say I survived yesterday, spent it ducking bullets, some flying toward me and some trying to rip their way out. Because black boys can always be too loud to live. Because it's taken my papa's and my grandma's time, my father's time, my brother's time, my aunt's time, my uncle's time. How much time do you want for your progress? I've left Earth to find a place where my kin can be safe. Where black people ain't but people the same color as the good, wet Earth. Until that means something. Until then, I bid you well, I bid you war, I bid you our lives to gamble with no more. But Kermit says he loves himself, and I love myself too, because I see being black is having strength, and that strength is what I see in my grandmother's eyes. Because you made it that way. Because you put an asterisk on my sister's gorgeous face, called her pretty. For a black girl, because black girls go missing without so much as a whisper of where. Because there are no Amber Alerts for amber-skinned girls. Because Jordan boomed, because Emmett whistled, because Huey P. spoke, because Martin preached. Today, I did not think about my blood. What is the shape of my people's salvation? Name a thing that can't be made a weapon. Can you point in the direction of the doctor, witch, or medical? No matter, I got this problem. I was born. They sent a girl when the bullet missed. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Bill Bryan. I'm a student advocate with the youth development team working with the African-American community. Today, I'm going to read an excerpt from a book called The Boy Who Carried Bricks, which I checked out from our media center right here in the building. It was written by Alton Carter, and he was the second eldest of five children. He was born in 1970 in Stillwater, Oklahoma. He was abandoned by his father, neglected by his mother. He was shuttled between foster homes and boys' ranches and his grandparents' and uncles' houses for most of his formative years. This young man refused to succumb to the fate that the world said should be his. Early on, Alton decides he wants a normal life, even if that means standing up to abusive relatives and being teased by his siblings and cousins. Along the way, he keeps an eye out for those who might help lighten the load, never losing hope that such people exist. And this is when Alton was staying at his grandmother's house when he was about 10 years old. Uncle Stevie's moods changed as quickly and as frequently as the Oklahoma weather. No one ever knew what mood Uncle Stevie would be in when he came home at night. Some evenings, he made us wrestle for his entertainment. Other nights, he commandeered the TV. On this particular night, however, our grandparents' living room had become a fight club. I was paired with my little brother, DeJohn, and he was getting the best of me. I was bigger and stronger than DeJohn, but he was tougher and meaner. At one point in our match, DeJohn had me in a headlock and pinned to the ground. I tried everything to get loose, but was unable to get free. Standing over us like a coach, Uncle Stevie shouted instructions to DeJohn on how to hurt me even more, both mentally and physically. Come on, DeJohn, you're tougher than he is. You're dominating him. Finish the sissy off. Already embarrassed about getting pinned by my little brother, I did the one thing that could make my situation even worse. I started crying. Uncle Stevie went ballistic. You better stop crying, Alton. Be a man, he yelled. But the more he yelled at me, the more I cried. Finally, Uncle Stevie had had enough. If you don't stop crying, Alton, I'm going to get the broom and give you something to cry about. You got to stop being such a crybaby and learn to fight like a man, or everyone at school is going to beat you up. As Uncle Stevie leaned over me with his finger in my face yelling, I did not dare move, too afraid of what he might do next. Go get the broom from the kitchen, DeJohn. DeJohn hustled out of the room, and my uncle turned back to me. I'm going to give you one last chance, he said. If you don't stop crying like a little girl by the time DeJohn comes back with that broom, I'm going to beat you with it. He let me ponder his threat. Sure enough, DeJohn returned with the broom, and I was still crying. Uncle Stevie snatched the broom out of DeJohn's hand, raised it over my head, over his head, and bellowed, I told you to stop crying, Alton. I took one look at him and, without thinking, took off running towards the stairs that led downstairs to my grandparents' bedroom. I had gone only a few feet when I felt the broom strike the top of my head. Crack! I fell to the floor with Uncle Stevie looming over me. Half of broom handle still in his hand. The other half was on the floor beside me. I must have made some noise when I hit the floor because my grandpa started yelling. What's going on up there? Grandpa shouted. Dizzy, unable to stand, I couldn't answer my grandpa for fear of what my uncle might do next. I said, what's going on? Grandpa hollered again. This time I could tell he was at the bottom of the staircase. No one said a word. I didn't dare. DeJohn and the others were not about to cross Uncle Stevie. And goodness knows, Uncle Stevie was not about to rat out himself. Eventually, when no one would answer, Grandpa gave up and returned to his room. I managed to crawl to the nearest couch while Uncle Stevie explained to my siblings and cousins how much of a baby I was. Maybe he was right. But it was not something that I was willing to change. I found it easier to run when fights started than to stand and fight like other boys. Hurting others to prove how tough I was never appealed to me. Alton Carter is a former foster child and former police officer in Stillwater, Oklahoma. He's now the director of youth ministries for the First United Methodist Church of Stillwater. He makes his home in Oklahoma with his wife, Kristen, and their sons, Kelton and Colin. Thank you.
You know, besides sharing Lift Every Voice and Sing, I loved hearing Linda Anderson talk about that northern Missouri area. We go down to Kansas City all the time and we drive right past that. And I keep thinking ever since, you know, when she presented that the first time, it's like, oh, it'd be fun just to go across that northern Missouri area and see all the things that she was talking about, that Route 36.
Such a rich history. I had no idea. That would be fun.
I didn't either. And Marshawna, oh my gosh. You know, when somebody is that passionate about something and presents something the way that she does, you know, it takes something that's just words. And, you know, if it was just there in front of you and you're just reading through it and all of a sudden it's like you can't help but try to process what she's saying in a different way. And it's not just that she's saying it. Anybody can feel that way and have those emotions, but when that resonates with people and people hear that and say, I feel that way too. You get some of the power that's going on there, and it's like, what does this mean?
And she chose different pieces from different authors and weaved it in such a way that told a very powerful story that I think that a lot of people could relate to. She did a great job with that.
And I liked there with Bill Bryant at the end. I don't know how you listen to that and not feel just uncomfortable. It's almost like with these like VR headsets you get now, you're just dropped into this situation with this person that's got Uncle Stevie standing over you and Grandpa there, and he's trying to teach you a lesson, and you don't really like how this lesson is being taught, and but you're left there to wonder. It's like, you know, that's what this boy is going through right now, and what does that mean?
And what struggles has he had his whole life? I mean, that was just an excerpt from this author's
life. Right, just a moment in a day.
And it just kind of gave you a glimpse of this is what students are going through, and how can we as adults help them get through? I mean, it's hard to concentrate on school when that's your life. And we have so many amazing staff members who help students process that and get through the day. So, well, again, these were just three highlights of the read-in. You can find all of these readers, including the Belmont Track Scholars, which we featured earlier in a different podcast. They were also there. You can find the video on our website, lps.org. Thank you for joining us for Stories from Lincoln Public Schools. Have a great weekend.